WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. After writing for many years about African American history and contemporary life, Tulani Davis has written a book tracing her family tree. On that tree, she found her white great-grandfather and his older brother who fought with the Confederate Army. She says by the time the book was done, she had to revise some of her thinking about herself. Davis grew up in the 1950s. Her book, 1959, is an autobiographical novel about integrating a white school. She wrote the librettos for operas about Malcolm X and the slave ship Amistad. And for many years, she wrote for the Village Voice. Her new memoir is called My Confederate Kinfolk, A 21st Century Freed Woman Discovers Her Roots. Before you started this book, did you know that you had white members of the family tree?
Yes, I knew I had a white great-grandfather, which of course means there were others, but I have to say I really never thought about it. It was pretty common where I grew up for people to know that they had some white ancestry, and people rarely ever mentioned names or talked about looking for who those people were.
And just in terms of like personal identity, how important was it to you before you started researching this book to know who was part of that white family that was part of your family tree? Did you care?
No, I didn't care. There was a sense that you knew what the story was because the story was a cliche. In other words, everybody in the town who had white ancestry, we all pretty much assumed we had the same story, which was a plantation master who had forced himself upon someone in the quarter, or in the case of my furthest back Davis ancestor, a woman who was raped on a slave ship. So it was as if you knew the story. And in fact, that was quite wrong. The story I found was much more interesting.
What got you started in this direction of researching your family tree was a book that your grandmother had been writing when she died. She died in 1971. What was this book, and what did it do to spark your interest?
She wanted to write a novel. She was scared to write the story as a true story. She wanted to write a novel about her parents. I wasn't initially fascinated with it myself. In that she didn't tell me about it, so I didn't get a chance to talk to her about it. It was something that came to me after she died. But I had been asked to work on a Broadway show on Thomas Jefferson and Sally Hemings. And in doing the treatment for that book and talking with people on that team for that show, I suddenly blurted out one day, well, I have my own Sally Hemings story, and I've been trying to use that to write this script, and I've found that it's difficult. I found it's taking me into some places I've never been, just psychologically, I guess, or emotionally. And it was quite a revelation to me when I said it, because I had assumed, like I said, that I understood what that story was. I didn't think I had deep feelings about it, and suddenly, in wrestling with that, one of the people on the team said, you should really write about that. And then I sort of went back and started looking at my grandmother's notes and trying to understand what was the story she was trying to tell, because she had a lot of feelings about it. And to her, it was a romance. So I found I couldn't quite buy into that. But I went to dig up what it was she had written, to look up the facts behind the notes she had for her memoir.
Let's talk about some of the things that you learned about your great-grandparents on your mother's side. Your great-grandmother was named Chloe Curry. She was a former slave from Alabama. Your great-grandfather was Will Campbell. He was a white man from Missouri. How did these two people meet?
Chloe Curry, who had married in Alabama just after she got out of slavery in 1865, had decided that it would be great if she and her husband moved to Mississippi. They had to leave four children in Alabama to do that. But they came out to Mississippi because there was better work, better paying work, and less violence, really, directed towards African Americans at that moment. They came to work for Will Campbell's older brother, whose name was Leonidas Campbell, and he was head of the farm there in Yazoo County in Mississippi. In 1875 or so, they arrived at that farm.
So she was married when she got there. How did she end up being with your great-grandfather, Will Campbell, a white man?
Her husband left. He hated Mississippi, but I think whatever situation arose, at some point, I should back up and say, at some point, Chloe was hired to work for Will as his housekeeper, and whatever friendship or situation if it that arose between them, and I don't know how it got started, but whatever alliance arose between Will and Chloe caused Jim Curry to go back to Alabama, and they later divorced.
Now, when your grandmother was writing a novel based on your great-grandparents' lives, she was writing a romance. Did you see your great-grandparents' relationship as being romantic or more practical? Do you have a sense of what they meant to each other? I mean, this was a relationship that society would have scorned and, you know, wasn't even legal. And as you pointed out earlier, a lot of a lot of relationships between black women and white men in that period were power relationships. The men would rape the women or just kind of coerce them into being a mistress. So what was the nature of this relationship?
I guess I have to say I'm not sure what the origin was, and it could have arisen out of his power over her as employer. He could have taken advantage of her. I believe the relationship, because it lasted so long, which was at least 20 years, at a time when both people had a choice about that, I believe the relationship really must have had a strong basis in friendship, in commonality, and in many ways I see them as similar kinds of people. They kept their own counsel, seemingly. They weren't afraid of being isolated, which they certainly were, particularly as a couple. But even previous to that, each of them had suffered quite a bit of hardship through the Civil War. And I think they both had a common respect and admiration for hard work, for people who worked hard, and real love for cotton farming and the Delta, the Mississippi landscape. And I imagine because he taught her so much about the business end of raising cotton that there was a kind of focus on the day-to-day, and that he also shared with her really a lot of the information that a newly freed person would need to know about their rights as a citizen in America, about how banking worked, about how education took place, and there were so many things that indicate friendship to me and generosity from Will towards Chloe that I really think there was at least a great companionship.
Did your great-grandparents live as husband and wife, even though they couldn't legally marry because of the miscegenation laws? Did they live as husband and wife? And did your grandmother, you know, grow up with both parents in the house?
Yes. They lived actually in what I would think is a relatively small house, actually, a one-bedroom home. My grandmother grew up with two parents until her father died when she was about 20.
Do you think your great-grandparents were attacked by any of their neighbors or, just shut out by their neighbors because they were basically living together in a socially scorned way? They were a black woman and a white man living together as husband and wife. I mean, that was against right. the law.
Right. There were a few other cases of it in that county. I'm quite certain they were shunned for it. I'm quite certain they didn't have company visiting, and that if company came to visit, well, that there was some pretense that she was just the cook and did not live there. It would have required a lot of that. When he died, Chloe could not attend his funeral without offending everyone in town, so she stayed home.
My guest is Tulani Davis. Her new memoir is called My Confederate Kinfolk. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Tulani Davis. Her new book, My Confederate Kinfolk, is about researching her family tree and discovering the story of her white great-grandfather and his family. So it sounds like your great-grandfather, Will Campbell, was a pretty decent guy. I imagine you don't feel so positively about his brother, Leonidas Campbell. He was elected to the State House from Yazoo, Mississippi in 1875, and he was elected to replace James Patterson, who had been lynched. Was your great-grandfather's brother connected to that lynching?
Yes, he was. Leonidas Campbell called a posse out to his farm who strung up James Patterson in Leonidas's front yard. And I was really actually very shocked when I first discovered it. I didn't know all that much about Leonidas, and I later discovered he also participated in a massacre during the Civil War. A massacre of black soldiers. So, yes, he was a bit much for me to deal with. I had to really try to understand who that man was, and I knew also that Chloe disliked him. So, the more I found out about him, the more I began to understand her position. It must have been difficult to work for someone who had just allowed a lynching. In his front yard at the time that, you know, you start working for him.
Now, your great-grandfather's brother was elected to the State House from Yazoo, Mississippi in 1875. Were blacks allowed to vote in that election?
Well, they had voted three times, men only. They had voted in 1868 and I guess most recently in 1873. They certainly were expected to vote. They were the voting majority because really they outnumbered white people in the county. They had elected James Patterson to the State House of Representatives. When he was killed, he was in the State House. He was a school teacher, and he also lived on the Campbell farm. So his death actually made it possible for Leonidas Campbell to be elected to the State House. No black people voted that year or for the next 90 years. And so he had an easy time, whereas Patterson would have been a shoo-in had he lived and had black people not been terrorized from voting that year.
So when you look at your family tree now, the white side and the African-American side, do you feel like you're looking at American history and you're looking at, you know, both sides of the Civil War? Do you feel like there are certain touchstones of American history that you can see and sharp focus in your own family?
Oh, yes. I have two thoughts about that. One, that a lot of our family trees must be like this, that those things we learned about in school may actually be reflected in all these cousins we don't know we have, and that that is the American family, or it's how American society is made. Some of us were, just as there were families that were divided by the Civil War, like the Campbells had one brother who was a Union supporter and the rest were Confederate supporters. But the family's actually larger and it's black and white. So I have a black ancestor who was a former slave who became a minister and was at the black conventions in the 1880s trying to fight for the right of blacks to vote and to continue to participate in electoral politics. And as you said, I have a great uncle who was part of the overthrow of Reconstruction, who thought that was the worst thing possible for his interest. And I hadn't, as I said at the beginning of the interview, I hadn't really thought about it before, but it seems really natural to me now. It seems logical, as it does, that I am an outgrowth of both of these people, that I'm sort of some, it feels logical that I'm one of the outcomes of all their actions.
No, I should say that you found certain things that you felt very connected to in the white part of your family tree, such as the fact that a couple of the women in that family tree were would-be writers. You're a writer. One of them actually started theaters, and you've written for the theater. So in a way, I mean, you must feel very connected to them, even though it's the white part of your family.
I do. It's odd to suddenly feel connected at 56. But when I first got some newspaper clippings in the mail with pictures of them, I went, oh, my God, it's my hairline. It's my raccoon eyes. And that really shocked me. I wasn't ready for that. It almost scared me. I just thought, oh, I'm not ready for new information. And when I found all these women were writers and some of them never got a publishing company to publish their fiction or poetry, I said to myself, well, I really don't have that among the Davises. This is really a new thought, that I have this connection to other family members who, like many women, I guess, of the 19th and early 20th century, were trying to write, partly because they'd been through such incredible experiences. And those women are very unique, very interesting, and they have a lot of other qualities, I think, that I have.
You mentioned looking at relatives in the white part of your family tree and then seeing some of their facial characteristics in your own face when you look in the mirror. You're somebody who's written extensively about African-American issues and poetry and music, African-American history, African-American identity. So what did it do to your own sense of identity as an African-American to start to see the facial characteristics of white people who you didn't even realize until recently were in your family tree?
I have to say, at first, I don't think I digested it at all. I was really stunned by it, to the point of maybe not knowing what my reaction was. It was just really new for me, and I did not refer to them as relatives of mine for a long time. I referred to them by name. I wouldn't have said Leonidas was my great uncle. It took me 3 years to be able to do that, because people I'd known about my whole life were my family. You know, my great-grandfather, William Roscoe Davis, I call him my great-grandfather. But it took some time for me to begin to say, well, these people are relatives of mine, because I found them interesting as people. I'm not sure I would have liked them all, but I would love to have met them all. And at the same time, I met some living members of the Campbell family who have all been wonderful to me and were more like people I would know anyway. So that helped me to bridge the gap a little bit. And I do feel like it's going to be easy to be cousins with the living Campbells. But it was a big adjustment.
Do you think of your great-grandparents as being progressive rebels because they had this long-lasting relationship together in spite of how society scorned such relationships?
Yes, I do think they were rebels. I also think, and this I take to heart a bit, that they followed their own star. They believed in doing what they wanted to do, and they weren't concerned with convention, and that they made a way for themselves to do as they wanted to do. And that's very important. It takes a lot of guts, and I feel glad to know that story, because it empowers me to walk my own path.
Well, you're in your 50s, and you've kind of already been walking your own path, don't you think?
Yeah, but these are hard times to stand up and be different, I think. We're in a we're in a time where convention's very important, and I think it is, as opposed to the 60s when I came of age, when it was important perhaps not to be conventional. But I think it is empowering to know that people who went before you really were trying as well, that you really aren't reinventing the wheel as you go through your life, that people have tried to make it possible for you to do those things that you do, whether you knew about it or not. I think when you do find it out, it feels more like you have an obligation almost to honor that, to continue to honor it. Perhaps in my case, to continue to honor it. But I actually did feel greatly empowered by both of them, but particularly by Chloe. I feel much more like I should go forward more fiercely.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Tilani Davis is the author of the new book, My Confederate Kinfolk. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.